Well, thanks for tuning in. This is a bonus episode of the Mile High Show. Hey, first off, does it sound any different? I am speaking to you through a professional microphone, courtesy of Prescott Pro Sound and my friend Teddy Leonard. It is a Shure SM58, which is, if you don't know the name, you definitely know the look of it. It's the silver ball style microphone on a black handle. That is the industry staple for musicians across the world. The mics that I typically use are Shure SM58 knockoffs. They're a less expensive version of this microphone, and I got them strictly for price-wise, but I'm really happy with them. They're a Behringer microphone, but this Shure microphone, the SM58, is, like I said, the industry standard for rock stars and broadcasters around the globe. And I stopped in to talk to my buddy Ted yesterday to ask him a couple of questions about something, and he graciously loaned me a little bit of gear as a way to support the Mile High Show and to help me out personally. So I thank Ted for that. I got a couple of pieces, including this Shure SM58, which makes me feel like a professional. So how does it sound? Is it any different, any better, or does the fact that it's my voice going into it just completely wreck the reputation of Shure? What do you think? I don't know. Probably. It's a good mic, though, and I feel smarter, more professional, and more talented just for holding it. So, and it links into what I'm posting today. Like I said, it's a bit of a bonus episode. We're just dropping it in the mix. I wasn't sure what we were going to do with it when we recorded it last night at the Birdcage Saloon in Prescott on Whiskey Row, but it'll fall in line with a new feature that we've talked about already. It will be an addition to the Mile High Show lineup, and that will be the Sky Daddy Conwell. Sky Conwell is a local musician, former guest of this show, and he hosts an open mic at the Birdcage each and every Wednesday night, and we drop in periodically and record the first segment of that open mic with he gets a hand-picked guest to open up the open mic, and they do a quick little interview and talk about the songs his guest will be playing. It's typically a singer-songwriter night, so it'll be original material. And he's had Jim Sobo on there so far, Becky Dahlke, our good friend Les Lyman. And he's got some great shows lined up in the future, including, I'm getting ahead of myself here, including in a couple of weeks we'll be posting Sky Daddy Conwell, and he'll be interviewing Danny Romero, who Sky and Danny, if you go back through the archives, were the numero uno, the number one guests on our debut episode. So Danny is a great guy and a fun guy to talk to, and Sky will be talking to Danny about some of Danny's original compositions and the stories behind him, and he's got some fascinating stories and a very, very entertaining guy to watch up on stage. So anyway, excuse me, that's what Sky's doing. So we were there last night to record one of the singer-songwriters. There was a little miscommunication on the scheduling, but Sky had a great idea just the other day. I'm recording this intro on the 21st of January. We recorded the show last night on the 20th. And just the other day, last Monday, Glenn Frey, musician, songwriter, storyteller, entertainer, in his own right, but most folks know him as a core member of the Eagles. Glenn Frey passed away Monday. So Sky was going to do a little bit of a tribute to Glenn Frey and the Eagles to open up his open mic. So we just recorded that, and Sky and I sat down and talked a little bit about what the Eagles have meant to Sky, and what Glenn Frey as a songwriter has done to influence the career of Sky Conwell. So I will shut up here, and no, I won't, because in the interview I do most of the talking anyway. So you know what? It's my show. You don't like it? Go to Podbean and start your own podcast. Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. We need more podcasts in this area because there's lots of good stories to tell. So, remember, too, on February 21st, we are doing a special broadcast or a special podcast in front of a live audience at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. That's February 21st at 5 p.m. The subject of that will be similar to our Star Wars show that we did a couple of months ago. It'll be in preview of the new Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice movie that's coming out in March. And we will be speaking with some self-proclaimed Batman experts, some comic book experts, and we will have some special, excuse me, we will have some special surprises that night. That's all I'm going to say right now, because it will be fun. It'll be a great time at Gabby's Grill in Prescott Valley. Check out milehighshow.com for a link to that special show, Batman vs. Superman, Dawn of Justice. We will be discussing it. We'll have some great fun stuff going on and some very special guests. So show on up, 5 o'clock. Have some fun. That show is being sponsored by many of you out there, including Ted Leonard at Prescott Pro Sound. So thank you, Ted. If you are interested in helping us sponsor that episode by either making a financial contribution to help us do that, we have a PayPal button right on our website at milehighshow.com under support the show. Or you can also contact us through that contact us page and let us know. Do you have a business, bar, restaurant, coffee shop, bookstore, clothing store, any business you have, if you are in a position to give us donate a gift certificate or a special offer or a piece of merchandise that we can raffle off during that live show. Like I said, we will have an audience there. We like to give them things and promote local businesses at the same time. If you are a musician or a band and you would like to donate a couple of CDs or the like, stickers even, anything that you have to promote your band and help support our show, please go to milehighshow.com, click the Contact Us button, and let me know how we can hook up and I can pick those items up. CDs, Sky Daddy is supplying a couple for us. So please, folks, if you have the ability to do so, do it. We would greatly appreciate it. So would our listeners. If you don't and you're not in a position to donate a goods or a service, just show up and have a good time with us on the 21st of February. And if both of those options are out of your ability at this point, and I know that times are tough, and I understand that, and people travel and work and everything else, this one's perfectly and completely free. Go to iTunes, look up The Mile High Show. There's a link to it right on our website. Go to iTunes, leave us a rating, click the little stars there, the little stars, and then take a few minutes, just a very short few moments, and write us a review. That really helps to boost our visibility and allows us to then have some better numbers to go out and seek advertising and sponsorship. So that is way too much talking for me. So guess what? We're going to switch over to the Birdcage from last night with Sky Conwell and, unfortunately, me talking even more. But stay to the end, and you'll hear some great music from Sky.
All right.
All right, Sky Daddy Conwell. Did you pull up when Mr. Glenn Frey left this scene? What day was that? Did you pull that up?
You were right. January the 18th. That was Monday.
So it was at airing of this, it'll be a little over a week.
Yeah.
While we're recording this here at the Sky Daddy Late Mic Late Night Polite,
the late night open mic, Polite jam session, open mic session on Wednesdays at the Birdcage at Historic Whiskey Row in Prescott, Arizona.
It's only a 2-hour open mic, and 45 minutes of that is listing the name.
Yeah.
So Glenn Frey of Solo, but of course most people know him from his time with the Eagles. That's where I, of course, was first associated with him. Passed away at fairly young. Was he 67, I believe?
That's exactly right. Yeah, too young.
Passed away at the time of us recording this was just a couple of days ago. This is Wednesday night.
This is Wednesday, and I heard of his passing on Monday. And he was an influence, Matt. The Eagles. How can you not like the Eagles? I've always said there's two groups that you can't go wrong. The Beatles and the Eagles. If I do an Eagles song, who's going to complain? Right?
Now this is it. The Eagles are an interesting phenomenon. It's kind of a weird word for it, but they've got an interesting following. They've got an interesting reputation,
right?
Because this is exactly why I'm going to backtrack a little bit here. This is actually going to be the fourth or fifth episode of the Sky Daddy Show on the Mile High Show that we've recorded. But we're going to drop it first strictly because it is timely in that you're going to do a tribute tonight to Glenn Frey on the second eve of his passing.
Yeah. Every Wednesday we do this open mic, as you know. And I like to start with a few songs and then we invite the people up.
Yeah.
During my performance, I'd like to pay tribute to Glenn Frey, because he really is an influence for me. I remember when I was in middle school and I had the Eagles' greatest hits, their first greatest hits.
Yeah.
It had Tequila Sunrise, it had Peaceful Easy Feeling on it, it had Desperado on it. And I would like to play some of those songs tonight because, you know, Glenn Frey co-wrote with Don Henley, he co-wrote Tequila Sunrise and Desperado.
When I first became aware of the Eagles and who they were was from, like a lot of us, where we get our influences for music, specifically music, but movies, TV, art, typically come from an older sibling, or if you don't have an older sibling, that cool uncle or that cool guy at the record store or that cool teacher that turns you on to stuff that you weren't used to, that you didn't know at a young age.
Who turned you on to the Eagles?
Well, the Eagles I'm the youngest of five.
Uh-huh.
So my brother was an Eagles fan.
Yeah.
I liked them. I grew up in California. They were kind of that California rock. I knew them from a good friend of the family, Fred Salazar, who was a musician by passion, carpet layer by trade, accomplished guitar player and songwriter of his own. He was a big Linda Ronstadt fan.
Oh, okay.
And he would, at this time I'm talking, I don't know when it came out. You know, Hotel California was just a huge smash. I want to say 77, 78.
Yeah, it was a smash for sure, right.
But that's when the Eagles came on a lot of people's radar, nationwide and internationally. Fred would pull up, no, I saw them when they were backing up Ronstadt at Bread and Roses or, you know, whatever. He was a real hippy-dippy guy.
Right.
And so I was associated with, I knew who they were. I knew their rock standards that everybody knew, you know, specifically Hotel California. I think I wore out the grooves on that LP playing it so many times.
It's a good tune, man.
But the true appreciation I got from them, like I said, my brother steered me to them. But for a lot of passions, whether it's music, like I said, art, or quirky movies that are off the radar, I'm a firm believer that there's got to be that guy. Everybody's got a guy who says, oh, you like this?
Sure.
You like the Beatles? Well, you know who influenced them was Muddy Waters and Chuck Berry.
Yeah,
somebody, that guy who turns you on to the obscure, the deeper stuff, the deeper cuts.
You don't mind me interrupting?
No, go.
If you're a fan of the Eagles, Matt, and a lot of the music nerds will appreciate this. If you're a fan of the Eagles, check out the group called Poco. Poco.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
P-O-C-O.
Poco. I know the name. And I, what was their... What, they had a big FM hit, and I'm trying to remember what it was.
I'm just saying, if yeah. you like the Eagles, the Poco was even before the Eagles, and they were kind of, they kind of set the stage for what the Eagles were going to do.
No.
You know, I'm,
yeah.
I'm a little bit country. I'm a little bit rock. So you take the Eagles, and that's exactly, and exactly that, defines that, what the Eagles did.
And that's where I'm saying that guy, that deep cuts yes. guy for me after my brother
yes.
was a guy I worked with by the name of Dave Courtney. He was a photographer that I worked with and for a lot of years in California. And he was several years older, not much. I want to say maybe 5 years older than me. But he played guitar, and he knew music that I didn't know that wasn't getting the airplay and things.
Oh, right.
And he really liked country, and he liked some old country. Mm-hmm. And, you know, at 16 years old, growing up in the Bay Area, Santana, Journey, mm-hmm. you know, and then the new wave stuff coming in late 70s, 80s. You know, right. I'm like, That ain't country. And he goes, but I like the Eagles.
Right.
And
there you
one
go.
Of my favorite singer-songwriters, and we've talked about this before, is Tom Waits.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
I love Tom Waits. And because nobody, none of my peers, none of my contemporaries knew who Tom Waits was, and then they would talk about, you know, Jersey Girl, you know, Springsteen. I said, that's not Springsteen, that's a Waits song.
Right on.
So my buddy Dave is telling me, you know, he's telling me about country singers, and I went to see a couple of concerts with him, and I'm like, it was fun, but you know, country's not my thing. He goes, well, you like the Eagles.
Exactly.
And I go, yeah, they're rock and roll, Hotel California. He goes, no, they're a country
yeah,
band.
If you take
man.
A look at their roots, yeah, yeah. They're complete country. But they've got a little edge to them. They yeah. wouldn't play them on the country radio stations, of course.
If they came out today, exactly. they would be playing on country.
Thank you. You said it exactly, yeah. word for word. You took the words right out of my mouth. So well said. Thank
that's
you, Matt.
Cause it's,
if
it's,
it came out today, it would be called... In fact, and if it came out in the early 90s, it would be still called country music.
Yeah.
They did a country music... They did a tribute to the Eagles. All these country music people
yes.
played on it, Travis Tritt and them. They did pretty much played it note for note exactly the way the Eagles did
yeah.
it. And guess what? They played it on the country channels.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles are, you know, they're country.
I got a chance in the past few years to see Dirk Bentley play at the Prescott. He came and did a benefit concert
yeah,
for the Yarnell 19.
Center. Yeah, I remember that.
And that, I didn't know who he was. I'm an idiot. I don't know. And they're going, oh, no, he's one of the biggest. He plays. I go, this ain't country. This is not country. This guy's a rocker. But no, he's country. And that's where this guy Dave Courtney turned me on. He says, "You don't like country," because I was just an idiot at a young age. I'm still an idiot, but back then it was worse. It was an infection. He said, "No, you like country because you like the Eagles. That's what they are." Listen, so he would play these as we'd go to work. He'd play these cassettes in his car. He gave me that whole new appreciation for what I wasn't familiar with. And then he goes, "This blew me away." This blows me away. He goes, you like Tom Waits. You think you're cool because you like Tom Waits. Here, listen to this. And he plays the Eagles' Old 55, which is a Tom Waits song that I'd never heard the Eagles do it. But it was great. So we're looking forward to Sky playing. We're going to take a quick little break because we got somebody here that needs to talk. But we'll come back, talk some more Glenn Frey, and then we'll get the special treat of hearing Sky play some of these tunes for us. But we're going to take a quick little break here because his glass is empty. That Sky drinks like a fish. Now we're recording.
It's only my second one, man. Oh, we're on? Uh-oh.
Okay.
Erase the last 30 seconds there, please.
So what? He had some business to take care of because he's coordinating the performers at his Sky Daddy's
polite open mic late night jam session at the historic Birdcage at beautiful Prescott, Arizona, Whiskey Row.
All righty. Now,
I said that perfect, didn't I?
I don't know. I was dozing. My mind wanders. It's that there's so little of it.
Matt,
it travels through my skull and takes some side trips because there's so little up there in my head.
Oh, come on. I want to pay tribute right now to Glenn Frey. He passed just a couple days ago from the recording, from the day that we're recording this.
Yeah.
Today's Wednesday. He passed on Monday. Glenn Frey is an American rock legend. I kind of wish that some of these corrupt politicians would die instead of these instead of these rock legends. It's too bad. It's a shame because Glenn Frey, he's way too young. He's a part of the Eagles. The Eagles were just an amazing band. Who doesn't like the Eagles? I'm serious.
Now,
there's two bands that I can say, who doesn't like? And you can, and everybody answers nobody. Nobody doesn't like the Beatles and the Eagles.
Now, and that brings up, they kind of get, or they go through periods, you know, little cycles, music cyclical, but the Eagles sometimes get a bad rap.
Why?
They just do. They get a bad rap for being too mainstream, too, I don't know, smooth is right. But they do. You hear it from, you know, comedians. You hear it from some other musicians and stuff. But if you ask anybody about, you know, well, what about Hotel California? What about Desperado? What about Tequila Stone? Well, yeah, that was a great song. But, okay, then that's the end of the conversation.
Exactly, yeah. Take a listen to their earlier things. Their very first Greatest Hits album. You know,
now,
let's talk about...
You said that... You had said... I don't know if it was on or off mic, but you said that Fry was an influence in you as a musician, as a songwriter.
Yeah.
What... Rack your brain. What were some of the first songs that you remember from the Eagles and from Fry?
Like I said earlier, you know, the Greatest Hits album, their first Greatest Hits album, was instrumental to my, you know, my musical understanding. It was instrumental to my... It's just very influential. Glenn Frey, Don Henley, Joe Walsh, they were all very instrumental in what I do today. Tequila Sunrise, The Best of My Love, the Lion Eyes song.
Yeah.
These are really powerful songs if you listen to the lyrics. And Don Henley and Glenn Frey wrote a lot of those songs.
Now, on the history of the Eagles, when did Walsh come into the mix? Wasn't he a little later?
A little bit later, right. He replaced the original guitar player that, you know,
What did he bring to the mix?
Well, he brought a little bit more rock and roll.
Yeah.
But if you listen to the earlier stuff before, you know, I got to admit that Joe Walsh is my favorite Eagle. I got to say that out loud on the air. But before Joe Walsh, it was pretty much a country band.
Yeah.
Joe Walsh definitely brought the rock and roll edge and the blues edge and the little craziness to the band. But you know, when you're talking about Hotel California, that big old guitar solo at the end, that's all Joe Walsh. That's
now, where did Walsh... Who was he with before?
The James Gang.
James Gang.
Yeah.
Three? There's a trio, wasn't it?
They were funky, man.
How do you get that sound out of three musicians?
They were funky.
What was the
Mountain Way and Funk Number?
What was their big Funk Number 5?
What was it called? I don't remember, but it was definitely in the teens. It was in the 40s or something. Funk Number 47 or something.
It's on my phone, I think.
Rocky Mountain Way. He had a funny song when I was in middle school. ILBT. I won't tell you. Look it up. Find out what the ILBT stands for. But it's pretty funny. He did it as a joke to see if they would even play it on the... He came up with this little song called ILBT. He figured that the DJs won't really listen to it because it's Joe Walsh, you know, so they'll just play it. And there's kind of a... There's some words in there you're not allowed to say on
the radio. So we won't be playing that.
No. We can't play that song. But look it up, and you'll find out what the I and the L and the T and the B stand, the B and the T stand for. But anyway, we're talking about Glenn Frey. He had the country in... He had the country influence before the Joe Walsh thing.
Yeah.
And I would like... He co-wrote a couple songs with Don Henley that I'm going to play tonight called Desperado. Desperado was my theme song before I met my beautiful girlfriend, Rhonda. And he wrote that was my theme song because it's just a powerful, powerful song.
And I really relate to it. It's just a beautiful... Yeah. It's a novel in... 2.5 minutes or whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Gosh, I relate to it because I was pretty desperate and I was pathetic. But the song really rings true to me in a part of my life that I'd like to forget.
Yeah.
But it really rings true in that part of my life.
He wrote
Sunrise. And that's another, just if you listen to the words, it's such a sad song. It's just such a powerful song. He co-wrote that with Don Henley. And I'd also like to do another Eagles song. It wasn't written by Glenn Frey or Don Henley, but the Eagles recorded it, and it's called Peaceful Easy Feeling, and it kind of brings it all together.
That I was trying to rack my head because I couldn't. I'm a dummy. My mind doesn't work. But that was the song, Peaceful Easy Feeling. Give me some of the lyrics.
I like the way your sparkling earrings lay. So I want to lay with you underneath the million stars all around.
That song. I'm sure it had to do with the age I was, you know, young teenager, and the time it came out. But that song, Tequila Sun, the three you mentioned, Desperado, Tequila Sunrise, and
Peaceful Easy Feeling,
were the first real songs that didn't seem like songs to me. Other songs were like, dun, dun, and you know, it had a tune, it had a melody. But those were the ones where it's like, oh, I got to listen to what he's saying.
Yes, thank you.
I got to hear it. Because you close your eyes, and that we're wearing headphones here at the, you know, because we're in a noisy place. But that was when you stuck your headphones on, turned off all the lights, closed your eyes, and saw the song in your mind.
Thank you.
And that some of the, just growing up.
Did you all hear what Matt just said? Say that again, Matt, because that just pays tribute to Glenn Frey.
We'll just cut and paste that portion because I don't remember what I said. Okay. But growing up where I grew up, it wasn't like the desert. It wasn't a heat area. We'd have warm spells and heat waves in the summer that were, you know, ooh, it's 85. Yeah. In the San Francisco Bay Area, it wasn't, you know, it wasn't known for the heat. We had the breeze coming off the ocean. But when we would go visit friends or family or go on a vacation, in summer, going through the Imperial Valley down to L.A., where it's, you know, 85 at midnight.
Wow.
That's what that's on, with no city lights around.
Yeah.
Where you could see the blanket of stars like we see up here in northern Arizona.
Right.
In the heat, when it's hot out, and that warm breeze and all those stars,
Glenn Frey, Don Henley, when you just want to think
about those songs and those lyrics.
Glenn Frey, Don Henley, they said it best. I'd like to sleep with you in the desert tonight with a million stars all around.
Beautiful.
That's it. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Anyway, I'm going to pay tribute to them tonight, and I can't wait to do it. It's almost time. I think they're calling for us.
Oh, real quick, before you go, because this is something that's always been sticking in my head. You always hear about songs and, oh, you know what that means.
Yeah.
You know the meaning of that, and it's always some really dark dish. Hotel California was one of those. When I was in junior high, and everybody said, oh, you know what that song's about, right?
Of course.
And I would always say, oh, yeah, of course I do. Yeah, yeah.
No.
I have no idea what it
is. Dude, you really don't? I'm going to inform you right now. Here it is. It's about hell. You can check out, but you can never leave. He's stuck in hell for the rest of eternity. He can't leave.
Okay, I always assumed it had to do with being locked in the grips of, like, a coke addiction or something.
Well,
which
you
could
know
be
what?
Hell at a the
good,
same time.
A good song has many interpretations. Yeah. And a good songwriter will not tell you exactly why he wrote it. So maybe you're right. Maybe it is about cocaine addiction.
See,
when I hear it, you know, I grew up in a church. A very strict Lutheran church. So when I hear, like, you can check out, but you can never leave. Yeah. We haven't had that spirit here since 1969. When I hear things like that, I think he's talking about hell.
See,
he's talking about an eternity of being away from of being away from God.
Yeah.
He's talking about the devil and fire.
I have a way of hearing a song.
Yeah.
And making up what it means, and that's the story.
You know what?
That's what the guy meant.
Dude, you're not wrong.
No,
neither am I. We're both right.
I had the mistake of meeting with a singer-songwriter who's one of the songs of his I really loved, and I said, what does that mean? He goes, I don't know, the words rhymed. So I ended that conversation right then and there. Well,
the stage is empty. Okay, we better get
We're
going
to let... Go ahead, Sky. I'm going to kill
right,
you
is,
here.
This is the Birdcage. We're at Wednesday night. It's the open mic jam, and they're calling for us. We're running a little bit late tonight, it looks like. So we got to get going. We'll see you next Wednesday, huh?
All righty. Thanks, Sky. All right, I'm going to keep going here while you set up your gear. Take off those headphones. Like I had said, we all need that one guy, or gal who steers us to the deep cuts, whether that be musically or that obscure movie that nobody ever heard of or that novel that nobody ever heard of. I had many guys like that in my history that told me about those B-sides, those deeper cuts on music, or a comedian you never heard about. Everybody needs those guys. If it's a guy at a bar, if it's a guy at a bookstore, if it's the librarian, if it's a teacher, if it's the quirky old guy that lives down the street, we all need those. And quite honestly, I like to think that the Mile High Show is bringing you those guys to help you discover things and look at things in a way that you may not have done before. So stay tuned. Listen to Sky doing his tribute to Glenn Frey.
I'm going to pay tribute to Glenn Frey. A few songs. song that he co. No, here's a song. I want to play a song that the Eagles did. Neither Glenn Frey or Don Henley or Joe Walsh or none of the Eagles actually wrote this song, but they recorded it, and it's a good song. It's called A Peaceful, Easy Feeling. To Glenn Frey right now, passed away on Monday. Glenn Frey passed away on Monday, and we're paying tribute to him. Glenn Frey of the Eagles. I remember I had his solo album, one of his solo albums, The All-Nighter. The Smuggler's Blues, they played it on the... thank you. They played it on the Miami Vice. Yeah, that was me. That was my life in the mid-80s. So Glenn Frey was a big influence on the stuff that I... Miami Vice, right. So, no, it wasn't me smuggling dope. It was a song about dope smugglers, but it wasn't about me. No. The Eagles were my life. Smuggling dope was not my life. I want it to be on record right now because you're recording. It's on record that I do not encourage dope smoking. No, I did not. So Glenn Frey and Don Henley co-wrote this song, and it was my theme song. It means, you know, the words are very, very meaningful.
and I relate to them. Or at least I used to relate to them. I related to them for a while, for a long while, until I met my girlfriend.
Somewhere. I hope you heard it.